Today on the Topic Show, leftists have a free Maduro march in Seattle, Washington. Minnesota, you have citizens, or debatably citizens, burning flags. Porsche admits killing their gas engine SUV was stupid. And I review the car companies with the most recalls in 2025. All of that and much more on the Topic Show. Thank you, everyone, for taking the time to tune in today. Today's episode of The Topping Show is proudly sponsored by Topping Technologies. Topping Technologies is an IT value-added reseller and services company with a special proficiency IT security. Tech is either found or released twice a day. Guys, he's quite handsome and brilliant. He's me, see, that's the joke. If you're an IT leader or business owner, reach out to the team at sales@toppingtechnologies.com. Also, still giving away a free flamethrower with every IT purchase, with a Picatinny rail adapter, so you can mount it to any standard AR-15, like all awesome accessories can be. Go to toppingtechnologies.com and click the flamethrower button to learn more and see me using a flamethrower. And lastly, trying to get 6,000 subscribers by the end of the month, so if you can click that button and tell your friends and your enemies, I would greatly appreciate it. Now going over to the business part of the podcast, you have Porsche admitting, well, it was stupid to kill their gas-powered SUV. That was brought to us thanks to Motor1.com, specifically Adrian Poriano, who's right over there. And they say, quote, Porsche, we were wrong about axing an important gas model. The decision they claim made sense at the time, now not so much. And you can see the Macan, which is their slightly smaller, debatably more sportier SUV, which, I don't know, I'm not a fan of any SUV. But, well, I always joke and say if I'm ever blessed with the privilege of having a family and kids, my friends say you need an SUV, which I contend you do not need that. You could fit the whole family in a Porsche 911, the seats in the back. In all seriousness, if I guess an SUV, there's only one I would get. I believe this is a 2009 era Porsche Cayenne GTS, which was a Porsche SUV with this. I'm almost so flabbergasted. It was so cool they did this when no one else did. It was a sporty SUV with a V8 and a stick shift. And I think they only imported like 290 of them. So if you could find one, that's a big if, they still go for like 50 to 60 grand with miles, mind you. So if I had to get an SUV, it'd have to be that one, which is preposterously hard to find, but you find a way. Nowadays, these SUVs are mostly boring, well, PDK transmissions, and in some cases, electric. And while they had the nice, they had the V6 stick shift SUV for a couple years, it just wasn't the same. Now, again, it's credit to Adrian. He says, quote, as of January 1st, Oliver Blume is no longer Porsche's CEO. The 57-year-old executive oversaw the brand for over a decade before stepping aside to make way for former McLaren CEO Michael Leiters. Blume, who remains Volkswagen Group CEO, candidly admitted in an interview that they discontinued a key model was a faux pas. They say the West Germany-born executive opened up about how the first generation Macan should have not been discontinued. Technically, it hasn't been retired yet, but the gas-powered crossover will be phased out later this year without an immediate direct successor. Blume explained that the decision made sense at the time, based on Porsche's projections that the electric Macan would fill the void, which, of course, it wouldn't. Now, he claims, quote, here you can see the rear of the SUV, which, again, for an SUV, it does look pretty good, though, again, that bar is quite low. Now, this is his quote saying, quote, our strategy was to offer combustion engines, hybrids, and electric sports cars in each of our three segments, but not for every product. We were wrong about the Macan based on the data available at the time and our assessments of our markets. We would make the same decision today. Today, that situation is different. We have response. We're adding combustion engines and hybrids. Which, yes, most consumers like gas engines. Also, infinitely more profitable for the automobile manufacturer. Again, like only Tesla's made a product on an EV, and you could debate, did they really make a profit when they get, again, a lot of government subsidies, a lot of government, you know, tax credits, and, you know, they have emission credits that they sell to other companies. You could debate in terms of how do you really define making a profit on it, but nevertheless, they say the decision did not renew the original Macan had already had repercussions in Europe. First generation model was withdrawn from the market in mid-2024 due to non-compliance with the totalitarian, draconian, even evil EU regulations, which they call the Cybersecurity Requirements for General Safety Regulation, GSR2. The EU is evil. They're trying to kill sports cars and freedom. Again, they also arrest people for memes and disarm their citizens. So, yeah, they're evil. Nevertheless, they say Porsche will discontinue the model globally in the coming months, with production scheduled to wrap in mid-2026. Porsche is attempting to make amends by developing a new combustion crossover positioned below the Cayenne. and won't carry the Macan name, but will compete in the same segment when it arrives in 2028. Details remain scarce, but before stepping down, Bloom described it as a quote, very, very typical of Porsche for the segment, but also differentiated from the BEV Macan. Which, yeah, you can see some of their product lineup right there. He says, the automaker says that the upcoming ICE-powered crossover will benefit from synergies, which likely means it will be related to the latest generation Audi Q5. As a result, it is expected to ride on the premium platform combustion, PPC, which reports indicated will retain the front-wheel drive-based Quattro Ultra system. While the outgoing Macan was also related to the Q5, the Porsche invested a significant effort into giving it a rear-wheel bias all-wheel drive setup, which, I mean, yeah, Porsche, they should do that. The car brand is more sporty than Audi, though again, both owned by Volkswagen Auto Group. They say, this time, however, Porsche is under pressure. Heavily re-engineering the Audi Q5 would add cost and development time, which, I guess, Porsche, people will pay more for it. Porsche is already investing heavily in a large three-row SUV equipped with the combustion engine rather than the EV-only drivetrain planned initially. On top of that, the Boxster and Cayman are set to regain their gas engines. Yes. Reversing Porsche's early commitment to replace the 718 Duel with EVs, which, oh. Now again, part of that is because of the EU draconian evil regulations and laws. Thankfully, we have freedom in America, so they should just make those things with gas engines forever. Again, especially considering the profit margins from their gas engine vehicles is preposterously good. It's rumored that the profit margins on the Porsche 911 is like 50%. Now, again, that's from a couple of analysts, a couple of rumors. That does not take into account, you know, the marketing, the advertisements, the research development. That's only raw materials. So, again, that's a huge caveat, but still, then you have EVs where they lose money. And you can't take some of the, you cannot take an EV to the track, a majority of tracks. I keep driving that point home because it's so annoying to me that they say they're going to make an EV sports car. Again, most tracks in the United States, you know, circuit tracks and even drag strips, they don't have the insurance policies nor the fire suppression technologies for EV-powered vehicles, aka those giant lithium-ion batteries. So either they're banned from those places, there's a couple of issues. So they're either banned from those places, they're allowed, but if there's any issue, they will not intervene. Your car will burn to the ground, and then you pay them lots of money for the lost opportunity for them to do business on the track, as well as the cleanup. Oh, then also three, you can't recharge it quickly enough between race sessions. When you go to the track, you're not just going there for, you know, one, you know, trip around there, one session. Like when I do it, it's usually four sessions, each about 25 minutes apiece, spread out over, you know, the whole day. So you might have an hour or 2 hours in between race sessions, I would say, on average. But again, it's enough to, you know, take the 3 minutes to gas up your car, but not to recharge it. So it's just, that's one of my pet peeves or soapbox issues is you're not going to have a track EV yet. Now, again, the magical technology could come out tomorrow and recharge like that and be magical, though I would argue it's still a soulless, disgusting machine without a third pedal. But nevertheless, you have that caveat with technology could get better magically soon. I say magically, it's engineering. Now, they say, quote, meanwhile, Oliver Bloom has extended his contract with Volkswagen Group through the end of 2030. Given the size and complexity of both companies, it makes sense for Porsche and its parent company to be led by separate executives. Which, now they say Motor One's take, Porsche is a large scale to recover from misleading the pace of EV adoption and the backing of Volkswagen Group. It can stabilize its lineup and offer customers a full spectrum of powertrain, combustion, engine, plug-in hybrids, and EVs. It's rare for a top executive to admit a misstep during his tenure openly. That's honestly refreshing, and it's worth remembering that Porsche flourished under Bloom's leadership. The company sold 225,121 vehicles in 2015, the year he supported its CEO, and peaked in 2023 at 320,221 units, which is insane when you think of the history of Porsche since they started from a boutique car company to the behemoth they are today. It's one of those things where it is astronomically impressive and cool. And again, I think they need, again, I see this, they need to have more gas-powered vehicles. They're in trouble in terms of, you know, viability. Their profits crashed pretty hard when they invested so much into EVs. And also, people don't want to buy them too much. Again, hybrids, it is one of the fastest-growing segments, especially in the United States, when it comes to the consumer adoption rate. But also, as an issue is, when you look at hybrids, it's almost as dumb as, like, They had a hybrid Chevrolet Suburban, which got, like, 2 more miles per gallon than the regular one. They made it. Oh, well, in that case, it's, you know, partially because the government poking them to do more. But, like, the average consumer want it? Not really. If you want to get a hybrid, they'll get, you know, Toyota Prius or, you know, something cliche that is dedicated towards that. Porsche, they're dedicated to fun, fast, exciting vehicles. And again, I know they make an EV sedan, Personally, I've never driven, obviously, or own one. But it is, you know, the refresh. You know, some people are saying it's refreshing. You know, they're admitting they made a mistake. They're going to backpedal. They're going to make the products the customers want. And again, thank God the Porsche came and it's still going to be around. It is the entry level Porsche, which again, I say that with a sigh because entry level is still, you know, what is it, $75,000 plus. But again, if you want a Porsche 911 with a stick shift, that entry level is now, I think, $121,000 or $126,000. It's a pretty penny to say the least if you actually want to get your hands on one of these before the dealers extort you with, you know, market adjustment fees, all that crap. So it's in many ways kind of bitter becoming like Ferrari in that regard. But again, from a business perspective, I think they're going to make the right moves. They're going to invest more in the products to actually make them money. And again, when it comes to, you know, making EVs, I suspect under the Volkswagen All Group, you know, portfolio, maybe they'll, you know, do some more Volkswagen badge things with that. They don't care about that brand because they sell so little to begin with. I'm only partially kidding, but let me your thoughts, because as always, be fascinated to hear what you have to say. Now, going over to the Cultural Part podcast, you have people of Minnesota burning American flags as ICE, well, they deport the illegals. Now, it's brought to us thanks to Breaking 911, and they say, quote, "The American flag being burned in the streets of Minneapolis, the people are the enemy," which I had to do a double take of the camera or the video. For a fraction of a second, I thought this was Black Hawk Down or Somalia, because, again, they resemble each other so closely these days. Now, this is also credited to Newsmax.
I want to jump in here. I want to ask you where you're at right now. And we're seeing the images on the screen. There's that flag you were talking about being burned here. What kind of things are they shouting, the crowd that's out there? I know they're obviously not happy ICE is there. They've been talking about that. What are they saying? You know, what's the energy like where you are right now?
So that's one reason why I'm not getting too close, so I can hear all of you, because it is loud out here. It's profanity. It's a lot of profanity.
Yeah, Somalia 2.0 is, well, they've imported a lot of Somalians too, especially Minneapolis, Minnesota. And yeah, I mean, the mayor of Minneapolis speaks Somali, goes to the rally, speaks their language, waves their flag, which, again, Minnesota's flag looks just like the Somalian flag these days as they redesigned it, because, again, they were weak and conquered under the ineptitudes and or corruption of Tim Walz, their governor. And it's an instance where, yeah, in America, you have the freedom to burn the American flag. It's like, yeah, you have the freedom to do a lot of things, but doesn't mean you're not an a-hole for doing it. And this is also something you see uniquely, culturally speaking, people more on the left. Even when, you know, when Biden was in office, when Joe Biden was in the White House, I don't know if he's actually in charge, but again, during the Biden-Harris administration, you didn't see any libertarians or people on the right burning American flags. You saw a lot of them very irate at the policies that they're rolling out, at the laws they were breaking, many people might argue treasonous in terms of having an open southern border and invaders. But no one ever said, "I hate America," because of that, at least, you know, in the middle or on the right. This is something very uniquely you see on the left, especially when Republicans are in power. I think it kind of all started when Barack Obama won the presidential election all those years ago. That's when our country really seemed to culturally divide and bifurcate. And again, there's a myriad of polls where they actually ask Republicans and Democrats, "Hey, you know, are you more patriotic, you know, when your party's in office or not? And again, overwhelmingly, when Democrats are out of power, you know, in terms of they do not have their person in the White House, they're very much anti-American, well, more than usual. And again, they love to burn American flags, see how evil they are. Again, critiquing the government, I think, is always, you know, is something you should always look at. Lord knows they've made mistakes and or corruption throughout our years, especially on the left as well as on the right. It'd be nice if the Republicans would, you know, get off their ass and do more things and, you know, enforce the law. And that's what they're attempting to do here with ICE, which, I'm sure there's a joke to be made about ICE in Minneapolis, one of the coldest, most miserable places on the planet. I'll think of it probably as soon as the camera stops rolling. Well, it's like one of those things where, oh yeah, you think of the perfect word, it just eludes you, then on the way home, hanging out with your friends, you remember, oh yeah, that was the word, that would have been perfect. And I do have that issue every time, or every once in a while when I'm on the camera. And again, it'd be interesting to see how many people are actually deported by ICE. Yeah, the amount of corruption, well, with the daycare issue alone in Minnesota. Minnesota also, Governor Tim Walz signed a bill saying, oh yeah, we're not going to check in your paperwork. If you just want an ID, you can get one. You don't have to be a citizen. Which again, when you go vote in the few states, I should clarify, some of the few states where actually have few left states where they do check ID, most of them don't. Some of them, it could be any ID, which includes IDs that you don't need to be a citizen to get. But of course, we're always told that never happens. Which, you know, it means it happens in Nazi, it happens all the time. And this got about 441,000 views and 4.4 thousand likes, One of the first comments comes to us thanks to one bad dude who says, quote, "These people show you who they really are getting 54 likes. Tony says, send in the National Guard to it getting 206 likes. Which, well, yeah, that's also one of those things where, yeah, the leadership of Minnesota, you know, Tim Walz as well as Jason Frey, they're all saying, oh yeah, if you do that, you're going to die. Which, again, it sounds like a threat via the implication. Now, we also have Sir Majesty saying, quote, "This is what happens when you allow communist and third worlders to flood the country. Trump and his administration should bring in the National Guard to deal with these clowns," getting 77 likes. The Doge Glory says, "Anyone burning the American flag should be in jail for the minimum of 1 year," getting 15 likes. Boinks, the retard frog. I mean, he says he's retarded, but frogs, I mean, if you're a frog and you can tweet, I don't think you're, if anything, I think you're actually of greater intellect than most frogs, if not most leftist. The description of the profile is the retarded internet frog your mom loves. And he says, quote, "Deport them to Africa," getting 77 likes. Mark says, "Are these even Americans?" getting 44 likes, which, well, allow them, no, they are not. Glitchy says, quote, "Bringing the American flag is protected speech. The anger it provokes, though, is very real," getting 30 likes, which, yeah, again, the Supreme Court has many years now, ruled it is protected. It is under the First Amendment. It's your, you know, freedom of speech. Now, under the Trump administration, they've actually started to enforce laws in terms of if you're burning American flags on federal buildings or, you know, it's their property. Again, if you go to the Walmart and buy an American flag, it's your property, you can burn it. I don't recommend it. I think it makes you a disgusting commie, but that is, you know, the courts have ruled that is your right, especially, well, if you do it on your own private property. There's also issues of, you know, local ordinances, the fire, all that kind of stuff. But again, under your controlled property, your circumstances, you are allowed to do it. You also have Stone Pipe says, "Now burn an Israeli flag in the U.S. and see if anything happens," getting 4 likes, which, yeah, you'd be arrested like that with, yeah, some states having very strict laws. Robert Zimmerman says, quote, "And there is no radical Islam, only Islam," getting 2 likes. Maddie Allen says, "Police says, what a disgrace," getting 3 likes. Zero F's says, "We are at F in war, invoke the Insurrection Act," getting 24 likes. He should. Trump needs to be a lot more tougher on crime, especially because, again, he can't run a third time, so why not do everything you want to do? We are getting too close to midterms, so although most Republicans are already becoming more cowardice than usual, which is saying something, unfortunately. You have Lion Sanity saying, "Want a bunch of F-words," getting 32 likes. Tom says, "Invoke the Insurrection Act, arrest every governor, mayor, DA, and judge, hold them in Gitmo until all the deportation operations are complete," in 33 likes. U.S. Patriotic Persistence says, quote, "More justification for the Insurrection Act," getting 62 likes. Yep. Not seeing any contrarian statements. You have Jimmy Couch saying, "Yeah, the real enemies are the people burning the American flag, not the people murdering, displacing human beings," getting 68 likes. Which, I mean, aren't those the same people in Minnesota, Minneapolis? But, yeah, as if you needed yet another reason not to live there. But let me your thoughts, because, as always, be fascinated to hear what you have to say. Going over to the political part podcast, you have leftists having a Free Maduro march in Seattle, Washington, which, well, of course, they're radical communists over there, so of course they would have this. Now, this is brought to us thanks to And Wokeness on X. He says, quote, "This really encapsulates the left. A man in a skirt leads Free Maduro march in Seattle," which, and he does have those weird-looking boots. So again, I don't have much ground to stand on when it comes to fashion and critique. I bought one suit, make it last forever, and have the New Balance 990s, the dad shoes, which are made in America. I would argue one of the best values out there. I believe I'm on my 17th or 18th pair since I started buying those in college. But nevertheless, this is the communist area of Seattle, of course.
Here with me, all. Hands up, Venezuela!
Hands up, Venezuela!
Hands up, Venezuela!
Hands up, Venezuela!
Free President Maduro!
Free President Maduro!
La lucha sigue! Libertad, socialismo, o muerte, pensaremos!
Well, I mean, first of all, this is America. If you want to actually communicate your ideals to people, probably would help to speak English. Now, presumably he's just reading some directions off a smartphone. He's a paid protester, maybe. Also seems to be wearing a belt that really isn't working. Well, I should argue, functionally or fashion-wise, it looks ridiculous. As you all know, true men always suit up and look spiffy and cool, obviously. He has some type of, is that a sun hat? He has a funny looking hat on. I can't critique him too much for the hair that's shoulder length because, yeah, I need to, he actually makes some time to get a haircut this year. It's been 105 hours a week, can't be beat. I don't exaggerate when I say that's about how many hours I work between the two companies. So it's one of those things where, yeah, although I did shave, I did something. But yeah, I'll get there one of these days. And this went pretty well. I got 1.6 million views and 38,000 likes. And I believe he also has the Ukrainian flag on his shoulder. Let's see here. Which is also funny because I would argue most of these people who, well, not just supported Ukraine, but are now supporting Maduro, which, that's actually probably a good metaphor. I mean, both of them are vastly corrupt leaders. They jail their opposition. They shut down opposing religions. They shut down opposing political parties. I mean, I think that's actually a lot of parallels now that I think about it. Although we haven't given Venezuela over $250 billion or I forget how much money we've wasted on Ukraine, which, dear God. I mean, why are our tax dollars funding the pensions of politicians over there and small businesses over there while we have people suffering here is abomination, to say the least. And again, Republicans and Democrats both vote to send more money to Ukraine. It's ridiculous. One of the first comments comes to us, thanks to End Wokeness, is this quote, "The voice crack is the chef's kiss," gained 3.2 thousand likes, which, again, I don't have much ground to stand on. Lord knows my speaking is not perfect. I try to be more articulate every day, but yeah, my voice cracks from time to time as well. Retard Finder simply says, "Cannot believe these people exist. His father must be proud," in 3,000 likes, which I could definitely believe they exist. That's most modern college campuses in the United States. Spitfire says, quote, "These NGOs are at least scraping the bottom of the barrel," in 237 likes. Alzupa says, quote, "It's Seattle. It's broken into cities, as broken as cities come these days because of people like this," of course, gained 194 likes. Gather Eagleman says, quote, "Is that a dude?" gained 207 likes. Base Electrician, great to see him in the comment section again. He says, quote, "Even the mob of retarded women are led by a retarded man," in 225 likes. Let's see. Well, Danny Noonan got 1.5 thousand likes for this comic. Looks like a leftist gal, two of them. One of them is holding one of them has Venezuela's flag. He says, "Thank you, true." And the other one says, quote, "Let me tell you why Trump is freeing you from a dictatorship so bad. I know more than you or your lived experiences." I guess the Venezuelan is saying, you know, "Thank you, Trump." The other one is saying, no, you're oppressed. Let me tell you why. And I got 1.5 thousand likes. Sons of Liberty 357, exceptional cartridge. I wish I could have one of these days. It says, right on brand. And it says, "Trans women are insane men," getting 758 likes. Pedro Jose says, "It was super busy, fantastic event. I would have missed it for anything." Here you can see there's AI-generated image where it says, "Trade in your Palestinian flag for a Venezuelan flag here." You need 303 likes, which, yeah, I mean, my tech company's doing pretty good, thankfully, throughout the years. But if I would have thought of what's the best ROI, those flag manufacturers are, I mean, they got to be just living it up in Bugattis and having gold bars everywhere. I mean, there's like a new flag that leftists care about every 30 days. They just keep cycling them. That's a lot of flags they're buying. I mean, I just wonder if you're a leftist in terms of, well, you have to be pretty fiscally, you know, conservative to actually put a monthly budget together. If they were to put a monthly budget together, which I think everyone should, I wonder if they actually have a line item on their Excel sheet, which, well, I argue Excel's a database just to piss off my IT friends. I wonder if they have a line item on that Excel sheet. It says flag budget. Because there's so many flags they have to buy. I got 303 likes. I also have Ann Stein, and it's Jim from The Office doing the whiteboard meme or meme saying, quote, "The same people who called Donald Trump a dictator are now defending dictators." Gained 1.9 thousand likes. Yep. That's true. Going down more and more. See if there's any contrarian statements. Fight with memes says, "Every time, man." And it's the Reverend's wife from The Simpsons with, well, she's been turned into a leftist. She has purple hair, the cow ring, warrior rings. Says nobody. And she's crying. It says nobody. And then says Democrats for some reason. Won't someone please think of the narco-terrorist dictator? 278 likes. Crypto Suit says, "Ah, look, a fellow lunatic." Yeah, which is 35 likes. Ali Rican says, quote, "Honestly, hope they keep this up. Let people see how absolutely insane these people are." Gain 216 likes. Let's see. Quentin simply says, "Mental illness." Gain 99 likes. Real News IR says, "Haha, Maduro would jail this person. He isn't a fan of gay people." Gain 315 likes. Wolf of the West says, "When you're so unemployable that your only means of making money is accepting that $25 per hour to protest for retard causes," gained 148 likes. Washington's Ghost says, "Open up the asylums," gained 89 likes. The Real Iggy says, "This is the Democrat Party in a nutshell," gained 10 likes. Mark Dinius says, quote, "They feel worthless and hate themselves. Finally, they found something to give meaning to their lives. Isn't it tragic?" gained 55 likes. Gen X says, "He He probably doesn't even know where Venezuela is, getting 51 likes, which, yeah, probably, especially if you went to a public school, thanks to the Department of Education. Every year they have worse and worse test scores, yet we spent over trillions of dollars on that. Yeah. Most Americans probably cannot point to where Ukraine or Venezuela is on the map. Let's see. You also have Nate. NYX says mental illness at its finest, getting 38 likes. Mandela says, quote, funded protest, communist ideology, America under attack. These aren't citizens speaking out. They're paid operatives marching, getting 63 likes. Let's see. Steve says, this shit needs to be stopped. It's not free speech. It's mental illness and threat to national security, getting 22 likes, which, although I might not agree with this person, it is free speech. I mean, it's stupid, but again, it is free speech. It's annoying. I believe this person has one of those little megaphones. Oh, no, they have a microphone attached to a speaker. Again, it looks like it's one of those public squares. Well, not literally. It's sidewalk on the corner. But again, that is protected speech. Peter Lombard says, a handful of paid actors in costumes they were given. A Sunday matinee, not a protest, getting 23 likes as well. We also have the gay Republican says, quote, the result of years of leftist propaganda, getting 38 likes, which, of course, I mean, is so predictable in terms of their methodology, what they're going to do next. Literally, Trump does something, no matter what it is, they will say it's bad and vote for the opposite or hope for the opposite, which, of course, they are sticking up for Maduro, an evil dictator. But let me know your thoughts, because, as always, be fascinated to hear what you have to say. Now, going over to the business blunder of the day, I review the most unreliable car brands in 2025. Spoiler alert, don't buy a Ford. Now, that's brought to us thanks to Autoblog, specifically Rex Sanchez, who's a writer over there. And he says, quote, 10 car brands that are the most recalls in 2025. Unsurprisingly, Ford leads the 2025 NHTSA list after recalling over 12 million vehicles. Wow. Which, here you can see the Ford F-150 Platinum truck, which, very rare picture. It's a picture of a Ford truck not in the service center of a Ford dealership, which is pretty rare. I can't help but think they spend most of the times in Ford dealerships, as again, they had, 158 recalls, I believe? Now, they say, quote, Ford recalled the most recall vehicles in 2025, surpassing 12.9 million units. Wow. That is insane, to say the least. Ford, what are you doing? Now, they say, quote, what the NHTSA data shows. These numbers are for the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration. They say, while the data highlights which automakers recalled the most vehicles last year, it doesn't always tell the full story. In many cases, safety campaigns stem from supply-related issues rather than defects unique with a specific model or brand, which, there's that nuance. Again, vehicles have between 10 and 30,000 components, and a lot of those companies share the same sub-suppliers. I mean, Bosch being one of the most popular electronics ones. Tata, that'd be the most famous in terms of the biggest recall in automobile history. They made the airbags for pretty much every vehicle, which is why everyone got hit with that recall all those years ago. Now, they say, even so, the recall data can still serve as a useful reference for consumers seeking to avoid vehicles that may be subject to frequent corrective actions. The 10th on the list is Volkswagen, which that actually blew my mind. When I was a kid, my dad especially would make fun of Volkswagen for being more expensive than the Japanese cars and unreliable. And he would just talk about how much he loved his Jetta, but also it was not the most reliable thing. Now, they actually recalled, relatively speaking, only 663,663 vehicles. They say two of its largest safety campaigns involved a loose engine cover that can melt on the Atlas, which, again, if you buy a vehicle, the first thing I do is throw away those stupid-ass engine covers. All it does is the noise suppression, and you don't get to hear the beauty of the engine. Why would you do that? Why would you cover up a work of art? So many hundreds of millions of dollars spent on engineering those engines, and they just cover it up. It's disgusting. It's pretty, just don't do that. No. I also say another one was from a rear view camera issue that violated the Federal Motor Safety Vehicle Standard number 111. The next is Tesla, the total recall population of 745,075 units. Despite landing on the list, the EV automaker showed improvement compared to 2024 when it called more than 5 million vehicles. The biggest safety campaign last year affected over 370,000 Model 3 and Model Y vehicles, though the fix was delivered over the air via the update. In the middle of the rankings, 8th place goes to Nissan, which somehow still in business. They say it was recalled 874,265 vehicles. The most serious issue involved more than 440,000 Rogue and Altima models, along with the Infiniti QX50 and QX55 vehicles that were at risk of engine failure due to manufacturing defect, which, whoopsies, kind of a big deal. One of the few things that needs to always work is the engine and transmission. say Kia filed in at seventh, recalling 982,346 vehicles, its largest since 2005, included a quarter million K5 sedans for a fuel tank fire risk, which, whoops. And they say just shy of 1 million mark is General Motors with 998,260 recalled vehicles. One of the most notable defects involved the L87 VA engine, which is also linked to multiple lawsuits, which, yeah. GM is saying, oh yeah, we know how to fix this engine. Just add slightly different oil. The weight is different. That'll fix it. Spoiler, it won't. Now, they say according to recall documentation, affected models include the Chevrolet Silverado, Suburban, Tahoe, as well as the Cadillac Escalade and GMC Sierra, Yukon, and Yukon XL, which, spoiler, same vehicles, same factory, slightly different piece of plastic glued on. Although I'm sure they use, it should be, it's probably taped on. It probably has some nice 3M adhesive tape. Now, they say that many have been built with defective connecting rod and or crankshaft components. The automaker to exceed 1 million recall vehicles is Hyundai with 1,078,012 vehicles, including half coming from the 2020 to 2035 Palisade SUVs, equipped with the seatbelt buckle that may fail to latch. Honda followed with 1,560,813 vehicles recalled. One major contributor was an accessory-related issue involving the 18-inch alloy wheels sold on 2016 to 2021 Honda Civic that could detach from the vehicle, which, yeah, that's a big deal. But also, I believe those were the aftermarket ones, which it was the factory, you know, the factory option one, which most of them did not get. They also say among the top three was Stellantis, ranking third, recalling 2,766,952 vehicles. The 4XE plug-in hybrid was flagged several times, including a safety campaign that affected the Jeep Wrangler and Grand Cherokee 4XE, which, yeah, the recall was so bad for those vehicles. There's a stop order out there, so dealers can't sell them. Not that which will disappoint 12 people who wanted a hybrid Wrangler. But yeah, right now you're supposed to park those vehicles and not use them. And they have no idea how to fix them yet, which adds insult to injury. Now, they say again, that is due to a potential high voltage fire risk. Second belongs to Toyota, recalling 3,223,256 vehicles. Notably, the Japanese Marque issued just 15 safety campaigns, far fewer than many rivals, meaning each recall covered a larger population. Its biggest campaign affected more than 1 million vehicles due to a rear view camera defect, which, again, not all recalls are, I don't think all recalls should be weighted equally, especially, again, there's some nuance. Nowadays, I don't think, if you could fix it with an over-the-air update, I almost don't think it should be a recall. I think a recall should be defined as you have to go to the dealership to get something done, because to me, that's when really it annoys the hell out of me. And I think that most people would agree. Now, that being said, right now, you know, all of these car companies are all measured the same. You know, recall for one versus the others. You know, even if it's over their update, they all have that. You could pull up the fun chart here, see all the vehicles with, again, Ford at 12.9 million, Toyota, 3.2 million, Chrysler, 27 million, Honda, 1.5 million, Hyundai, 1 million, GM, right under a million, Kia, 992, Nissan, 874, Toyota, 745, Volkswagen, 663. Now, again, in terms of percentage, Volkswagen, well, yeah, it's one of those things where they outmake many vehicles compared to, you know, Toyota, those companies. Now, they say topping the list is Ford, which breached the 10 million mark with 12.9 million recalled vehicles. The Blue Oval and its Lincoln luxury brand also issued a record 153 safety campaigns, most is ever released in a single year. CEO Jim Farley had explained that the company added more inspectors and engineers to identify quality issues earlier, even if that leads to more recalls. They say, this isn't supposed to be a joke, they claim they're doing that to protect customers from potentially larger problems down the road, which is good. Lord knows they need people to actually inspect those vehicles, because I can't but wonder, that person, are they inebriated or drunk on the job? Like, they just let anything roll off the assembly line there? And they say, this underscores that a high recall doesn't automatically mean the automaker is unreliable. Recall data reflects how many issues are identified, reported, and addressed, not how often they occur, or not just how often they occur. For long-term dependability, concerns might be looking at reliability studies from organizations such as Consumer Reports, which those reports would not help out Ford any more than this report here. And again, it provided a lot of content in terms of 2025 business blunders, and Ford hitting 12.9 recalls. And 12.9 million vehicles being recalled and having 153 recalls. I gotta say, Ford, you're certainly the business blunder of the day and the business blunder of 2025. Thank you, everyone, for taking the time to tune in today. Again, try to get to 6,000 subscribers by the end of the month, so click that button. I greatly appreciate it. Also, give me a thumbs up, thumbs down, or comment. It's a great way to give me some additional feedback. Let me know how I can make the show better and better. Lastly, don't forget to take time to tell your family, tell your friends, tell your coworkers, heck, tell your enemies, anyone, everyone. Just stay safe, fight the good fight.